dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. Your CG, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISOs, RANs, SIPs, SIPs. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Binary Revolution Radio, episode number 103. That is 103. So if you add up all your fingers and toes, and you got four friends, and then like one of those inbred Mississippi cousins with three toes. Anyway, episode 103. Today is July 5th, 2004. Actually, that's kind of a lie. It is July 4th, 2004 as we record this. Of course, you're listening to this on July 5th. So happy 5th of July, even though we're recording on the 4th. And of course, when I say we, and making a little Mississippi joke at the onset of this. Am I allowed to do that, by the way? I think your docs are dropped, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Droops, a.k.a. Droopy Dog, a.k.a. Bubba Hacks, a.k.a. Buddy, is on the show this time. First time co-host for Droops, on this show anyway.
Of course, that's right, this whole internet radio thing is awesome.
Yeah, this is not the first time, of course, most people have heard Droops. If you also listen to Infonomicon Radio with our good friend Droops here.
And yes, Infonomicon.org.
.org, and you just...
I'm going to plug it 100 times during the show, so everybody just turn it off now.
That's perfectly fine, And you actually just came across a milestone yourself. I know, you know, we're next week's show will be a big 2-year anniversary for us, but you also just had a little anniversary, didn't you?
Yes, we just had our 1-year anniversary. We got 42 or 41 episodes done in a year, which is not quite up to track as you, but it's pretty good.
Well, yeah, but I don't have a life, so I guess that's how it works out. Oh, okay. Well, let's take care of a little bit of housekeeping up front here and get a few things taken care of. This episode is brought to you by... No, I'm just kidding. I have to announce up front, I've already mentioned this on the forums and have already updated the website, that I cannot take any more orders. That means for T-shirts, for magazines. Well, first of all, we're about out of T-shirts anyway. So, T-shirts...
Where's my T-shirt?
Yours is... It's in the mail.
Yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, how about DEF CON?
Okay.
All right, we'll work that out. I have to take care of some personal issues, do some personal obligations I have to deal with. So, I'm not going to have a whole lot of extra time to work on a lot of different things. And I know it sounds, people probably don't realize, but it takes quite a bit of time to package up all these orders and send them out. Not that the sheer number of orders or anything like that, but you know, I usually package them up about once every couple weeks. And they just add up over that time, so I have to sit there, fold shirts, stuff them in a freaking envelope, find the magazines and stuff those in there and hand write out the addresses and everything, because we do not keep a database of all these people. I like the fact that we give them some semblance of anonymity, even though, quite honestly, we probably all know that PayPal tracks all that stuff, but I do not. I don't keep a database, so I do everything by hand. And I just don't have the time to do it right now. I'm taking a little bit of a break to focus on, like I said, some personal things that have come up. So that is one of the biggest casualties. So hopefully that's only going to be it's kind of hard to tell. I don't know how long this situation is going to last with me. But I'm thinking probably 3 or 4 months I should be back on my feet and able to fire things up again, which also should be, if we can help it, coincide with release some other releases and some new items that we can put out there. We might be able to do something sooner if I work out some deals with some other people at DEF CON. So we've got some options, but for now, as far as you should just count on the fact that we can't take any more orders for the next few months. So if anything changes, of course, we will announce it on the show and update the website and yada, yada, yada. So until then, all ordering is suspended. And yes, if you've got your order in already, I will fulfill it. I'm not out of anything. It's not anything like that. So I will get those out as soon as possible, and I guess that's all I have to say about that.
Well, if you're wondering what Stank's personal business is, he's actually was kind of pissed about female listeners not writing in, or maybe lack of female listeners.
Right.
And, well, he's doing something about it. He's having a little operation to make it more gender-friendly.
That's right. I've already started. I'm already taking hormone replacement therapy. I'm sitting here looking at my fabulous new breastises right now.
I'm excited about those.
Not as excited as you are, buddy. Anyway. Yeah, actually, about our female listener challenge that we issued a couple weeks ago, which, of course, for those of you who didn't listen to that episode of the show, we've had an occasional female listener who writes in, which is fantastic, and it's great. We love that. You know, chicks are hot. You know, that's always good when we have chicks listening to the show. And they probably hate being called chicks, but hey, whatever. It's a term of endearment. Anyway, we put out a challenge because I got an email from somebody saying that there are more female listeners out there than we actually seem to think there are. So I issued a challenge two weeks ago, to be exact. I issued a challenge that said for our female listeners or transgendered listeners or whatever the case may be, to email us and just prove that they exist. That's simple. That's it. Email us, say, I am a female listener, I enjoy the show, I listen to the show, I hate the show, but just let us know that there are female listeners. And 2 weeks from now, I realize people are downloading it and don't listen to it right away, but I figured 2 weeks is a good cutoff point. And I said less than 10, I think was my guess, less than 10 or less than 12, not theory.
Not theory,
I believe his guess was less than 20. And I guess we're both right, but I think I'm more right, because our grand total was one email from one female listener out of 5,000-plus downloads. One female listener who bothered to email us. So, shouts to Amy for standing up and being counted. Big shouts to her. And for all the rest of you, hey, there was the chance to stand up and be heard and represent females in hacking. I noticed there's a talk at DEF CON, if I remember correctly. Droops, did you notice that?
I did not.
There's something about why I shouldn't talk about it because I don't remember exactly. Something about females in hacking. Maybe why there weren't so many, or what's the obstacles to getting. I don't remember what the exact topic, but it had something to do with females in hacking. So let's see. I guarantee you that if you go there, that's going to be a sausage fest too. It's going to be one. Come on, let's be honest. There's going to be one woman presenting. There will be maybe 5% of the audience or less will be female, and it'll be a bunch of dudes. No debate.
Yeah, my wife is coming with me, and she's really excited about going to the smelly people group meeting.
Yeah, that's. I've heard that about. I've heard that about DEF CON. Let's see how that goes. They need to get sponsored by, like, a deodorant. You know, they need to hand out free samples or something. They need to get...
Well, like, Cleveland stunk, and Cleveland was kind of cool. DEF CON, I imagine, will be pretty warm outside, so...
People are going to be ripe.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, buddy. Well, we can carry around spray deodorant, just spray people when they need it, I guess.
What's right. That stuff you spray on your clothes to make them smell clean again?
I don't know. Febreze?
Febreze, that's it. We'll
is
just
that
take
it?
Some of that.
Oh, come on. Now we're advertising on the show.
Bring open source Febreze. Make your own at your home.
How the hell do you make your own Febreze?
They actually paid me $10 to say that. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. That's what I get, I guess. That's what I get for having Bubba Hacks on the show. Now, speaking of Bubba Hacks, while we're in the Bubble Hacks, what the fuck is Bubble Hacks? You are kind of bubblicious.
It's some kind of bad gum, I think.
I think so. It's gum for people with bad teeth.
Yeah.
Bubba Hacks from Infonomicon TV. It's actually, I don't know how you got my cousin and got convinced him to do this. Because I saw Infonomicon TV episode 4 and it had my cousin on there.
Well, see, he actually found me. He lives kind of nearby. He needed some help with the camera, so, you know, I helped him out a little bit. But
Yeah, I watched all through that, then saw a bunch of you Mississippi boys out there rolling around in the mud all sexy-like.
That's right, that's right. Well, see, you gave me some of those copies of your magazine, and I put them in the little local library, mm-hmm. and two of them are still there, I'm sure. One of them someone seems to have taken, which is cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's bad that they stole it, but at least someone enjoyed something.
Right.
Or else they just used it as toilet paper in the woods. I'm not real sure.
One or the other. Either way.
But I put my email address in it for people to contact me, and he contacted me. I mean, it took forever that frickin' bottle to get here, but it's there.
Yeah, and I saw that he sent me a B-mail in that video, too, and I haven't gotten that yet. I got to keep my eyes out. It hasn't gotten down here yet. Of course, it's a good long ways down here to South Florida.
Well, I think that tropical storm out there in the Gulf kind of messed up something.
You know what? It might have got caught up in some kind of offshore current thing or something.
It's not really a fail-safe system, but...
Yeah, there's no data redundancy or anything like that.
Yeah, packet loss is pretty bad.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, well, speaking of B-mail, why don't we move on to the next segment of our show? Okay, our first email this week comes from Dogtanian. There's a lot of dogs out there these days. Dogtanian, who says, "Hey, Stank Dog and Droops. Greetings from Big Bad London Town." Yeah. I got to go to London one time, by the way. That is one of my places I want to visit outside of the United States. I don't have a whole lot. I can probably count them on one hand of places I want to visit, and London's definitely one of them. Let's see. I don't know if the fireworks outside are going off in the middle of the night or being picked up by the microphone, but people are still celebrating the 4th.
We're going to celebrate after we finish recording this.
By the time we're done recording this, it'll be the 5th.
Well, it'll be okay. We're going to go out of city limits and shoot off one firework that we have.
I don't think there's anything wrong with celebrating the 5th of July as well.
You know, it is the day after the 4th. It's a good day.
Exactly. I mean, okay, everybody else celebrates the 4th, but there's nothing wrong. You know what? You can celebrate the 17th of July if you want. I mean, it's your reason for celebrating.
We should celebrate the 5th, because, like, the 4th is the day we got independence, and, like, the 5th is the day we all just chilled and we're like, whew, thank God that's over.
Yeah, right? We're all sitting around drunk, hungover.
You know, cleaning up.
All right, so where was I here? Dogtanian, greetings from Big Bound London Town. I've been listening to your show for the past 5 weeks, ever since I stumbled across the listing on the iPodder podcast database. I love the show and have been alternately listening to Ben Rev and Emmanuel Goldstein's Off the Hook on the way to work most mornings. Both shows whap the ass. Ooh, that's a good phrase. Whap the ass off of all the bland, out-of-the-tin radio shows over in these parts. Anyhow, I was recently told about an application called Tor, and that's T-O-R, which is at tor.eff.org, which purports to provide a level of anonymity for web browsing and other TCP through SOX data. Great, I thought. This must be too good to be true. Now I can make it that bit more difficult for any of the big evil data warehouses, in quotation marks, big evil data warehouses to index how much unlicensed software, music, and recreational porn, as opposed to industrial porn or what?
Ultra porn.
Yeah, recreational, okay, blah, blah, blah. Software, music, and recreational porn that I may or may not download on a daily basis. Okay, you're not fooling anybody. Having read most of the documentation on the Tor project page, I came to the conclusion that the methodology that Tor uses would certainly add an element of privacy to net usage, even though it's by no means, quote, the golden egg. But then I noticed somewhere on the homepage that the Tor project had been sponsored in part by DARPA, DARPA.mil, of course, the military, which appears to be some sort of subsidiary of the U.S. Department of Defense. Absolutely correct. I immediately thought it a bit strange for the Department of Defense to be involved in a project which masquerades as a facility for anonymous internet usage, since I assume that the DoD's ideology is diametrically opposed to freedom of speech and the other assorted civil liberties that are being ground away on a day-by-day basis by my government and yours. That's an interesting comment, his government and ours, remembering that he is in England. Could this be some sort of honeypot trap set up by the DoD that's been created to try and catch Osama bin Laden? I think we should be told. Toodle pip. What the hell is that? Toodle. That's goodbye? Toodle pip. Pip pip. Toodle-o. Tally-ho. Tally-whacker.
Tally-whacker.
Well, toodle pip. Back to you, Dogtanian. Thank you for the email. Toodle pip. That's another first for Benny Rev Radio.
What about recreational prawn?
All prawn is recreational, right? I mean, you're not like... I guess maybe if you're for some reason downloading porn and like writing an analytical study or a paper for some sort of analysis or medical something or other, even then, I mean, it's going to get recreational at some point unless you've got just like absolutely no... You must have just willpower that... couldn't be measured by any scale that we have. Anyway, turning this into the porn show all of a sudden. Yeah, we already did episode 69. We got to move off of this. Okay. It is definitely a point of concern. No doubt about that. Just, first of all, I like the fact that you even noticed this. A lot of people don't even look or don't even care. They just see Tor. They might click on the How It Works button or the explanation of how it works or whatever. But they might not even notice that DARPA was involved, that the DOD was, in fact, involved with this somewhat. So, first of all, it's cool that you actually noticed it. Never blindly trust anything, anyone. I've always said that. That doesn't mean... When I say that, that's not like a total conspiracy thing that everybody's out to get you. It's just always look and always be careful first, and then hopefully 99% of the times that you do that, you're still going to be safe. But you catch that 1% of the time you might not have. So don't trust anything, especially on the global interweb. In this case, I think probably it's not an issue. It's a non-issue or whatever you want to say. The simple fact, first of all, the idea, and you mentioned this yourself, the idea of the way that it works by nature kind of makes it very difficult for this to be tapped or to be picked up on, man in the middle, things like that, because of the way that it's routing so many different ways each time and the encryption along the way. So first of all, by nature, it's questionable. However, it is still very, very much possible. The second thing that helps trust this, in my case, in my opinion, is the fact that it does seem to be open source. Now, I will admit that, of course, I have not read all of the source code for this. I actually have only used this once or twice just to try it out. It's probably something that I should be using more of and everybody should be using more, frankly. But I don't really have the need... Right now, I haven't really had any desire to put that on for one reason or the other. So, I glanced at the source code. It seems to be all-inclusive. And if that is the case, anybody who is concerned can go through that source code and see anything that's going on. The only concern that I might have would be to look through that source code and see if there's a function, see if there's a routine in there of some kind that acts as some sort of backdoor and maybe feeds queries off to a third-party site, such as the Department of Defense. So, if anyone's concerned about that, you can, of course, look through the source. And the fact that they make it open source means that they probably don't have anything to hide. However, if you are seriously concerned, that's the great thing about open source. You can look through it until you do feel safe and you do trust it. Or, if there's something that you do question, you can modify that and... run your own version. there are a lot of people that see the source code, and it seems to me, human nature tells me that if there was a problem, if there was some sort of backdoor, that we probably heard, A, would have heard about it by now, and B, it would not be endorsed by the EFF. I trust the EFF, one of the few places that I do have quite a bit of trust for, and even them, I won't blindly take their word for it, but their endorsement means a lot to me. So, yeah, I think it's, my opinion on the matter is that it is probably safe. Droops, what do you think?
Well, I was going to talk about, he wrote that it appears to be some subsidiary of the Department of Defense, mm-hmm. and the Department of Defense, DARPA, used to be called ARPA, and periodically they changed that name for some reason, but it stands for Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency,
right.
I want to say, and they're the ones that came up with the ARPANET, which is a way of, they can have redundancy of when they're shooting their nuclear missiles during the Cold War. And that became, eventually, the MILNET and the Internet came off of that.
Right.
So they did a lot of stuff like this back in the day when this was all theoretical, and now they're coming out with new stuff, which I think is really cool, and I'm glad that they're sharing it with other people.
Right, and frankly, for all I know about this, and granted, I don't know the level of depth that maybe someone else does, but this could be based off of old ARPANET technology from pre-internet days, because like Droops just mentioned, you know, that kind of grew into what we know today. This could be very old technology that somebody just found or stumbled across or that they just released, or it could be something that they've recently developed. I find it, if there's something that was recently developed, I don't know that I don't see them actually releasing it to the public if it's something that's recent. So I don't know. I'd be interested. If somebody does know, intimately knows the Tor system and how it works, I would love to hear some sort of authoritative response. Not somebody who uses it and thinks they know, but if you're an authority on Tor, please email us and let us know. Okay, well, while I get a sip of iced tea, why don't you go into the next email there, buddy?
Well, there's actually one more point I wanted to hit. He said he listened to Off the Hook and he listened to Ben Rev. Well, there's this other show. It's Infonomicon Radio. It's got this weird Droops guy that hosts it, but it's pretty good sometimes.
Yes, once in a while.
You should check that out every stray once in a while. And the next email is from Nightlord. He says, "Hey, Stank and Droops, I just started listening to your show following the audio file I downloaded from the Hope Conference, where you did a talk about the AS-400. I was very intrigued by that discussion. I myself am an RPG programmer on the AS-400, as well as a hacker in my own right. I think it's great that you're getting the word out about the system, because a lot of people have never heard of it. I really like your show, and I think that all your topics are very interesting. Keep up the good work, and talk some more about the 400.
All right, so thank you, Nightlord, for that email. Yeah, I appreciate that. I've gotten a couple people who have emailed me about that 400, and the surprising thing is they're emailing me so long afterwards. That was last July. That's a year ago to the month. That's a full year ago. I think I got lazy one week and aired that as an episode of the show, if I remember correctly, too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting, first of all, that there are still people that find that interesting. The AS-400 community as a whole were not very happy that I gave that presentation. I got some responses from people who were not very enthused about it. But, hey, you know, what else? What are you going to do? I did write a little cheat sheet at a job I used to work at, just to basically a lot of the common commands and what they do and some of the common parameters you pass to them for some operators in an old job that I had. So I might see if I can dig that out of mothballs, find it somewhere, and throw it up on Dock Droppers, but I'm not sure if that's going to be in the near future or not, quite frankly, with everything else that's going on. As far as talking about on the show, see, the problem with that is, Droops, do you have an AS-400?
I sure don't have one in the house right here.
I don't either. I would like one, and I almost had one a couple times, but it escaped me. So that's kind of the other problem, is that while I do have access to them, occasionally, if I'm careful. While I do have access to them sometimes, most of the listeners are not going to have access to it. So, you know, one of the things that we do on the show is we try to do stuff that if they the listeners can play along with while they're listening, they can do the searches, they can try some of the techniques, or even if they don't play along, that they can listen and pick up tips and things they can do on their own later. Well, most people aren't going to have an AS400 or access to one, although on a previous episode, I have to go back to the show notes, but there is someone who offers free AS400 shells. So that is something that people, I wish people would take more advantage of. But the second thing is that any topic that I do on the AS400, at that presentation, I covered a lot of the topics and in general terms, explained what they were, how they work, and stuff. I could subsequently do a show now where I pick any particular area of the AS400 and go into more detail, but I'm worried that that's going to be very dry. It's going to be very tough material to listen to. I mean, nobody wants to hear me, you know, type this command in and look at what happens. It's very visual in nature. It's one of those things that's kind of tough to describe, and not because it's really the AS400 itself, but if I was trying to tell somebody how to compile a Linux kernel on the air, it'd be very dry and hard to listen to. It's just kind of a boring topic, you know, for radio. It's one of those things that's better with video. And the presentation that I gave at the HOPE conference actually has several embedded videos in it. A lot of the, if you heard the audio, a lot of the speaking that you heard was pre-recorded video clips. I was standing there looking at them while they were playing. Every couple slides, when I demonstrated a certain thing on the 400, in lieu of having one handy, I had pre-recorded some clips and played them for everyone to watch. So I never did put that up for download because, unfortunately, the video clips were huge and they were just taking up too much disk space, too much bandwidth. So maybe I'll work out a way to... I know 2600 sells copies, I think, for $5. They'll burn you a copy of any of the speeches. So if you want to see it, I don't know the quality. I don't know how that turned out because I never got a copy. I never saw. I don't know what I look like. Never saw it, so I don't know if they filmed it very well, if they covered the video section, or if the camera was on me the whole time. But maybe, again, I'll try to put that together, maybe compress the videos, put it out. Or maybe burn it to CD myself if somebody really, really wants it. I guess that might be an option, too. But again, like I said earlier, it's going to be something for a few months down the road, unfortunately. So, let's see. How about our next email from Voltage X? Voltage X says, "Hi, Stank Dog and Droops." Actually, he doesn't. He says, "Hi, Stank Dog and co-host." And in the parentheses, he says, "How do people know which co-host will be on?" Well, you don't. So what we do with our emails now is we just pretty much replace the email with the two co-hosts of this particular show. And there's not much I can do about that because, frankly, I don't know who's going to be co-hosting the show. I kind of wait. I get an idea ahead of time. Sometimes I'll have shows planned out for a couple weeks in advance. Sometimes I won't do it until the day or two before.
And or sometimes this guy will drop on him and he has to fall back on Droops.
Nobody dropped Droops. You were my first choice today because I wanted to make sure that you got...
First choice out of 103.
Shut up. I wanted to make sure that I got you on an episode of the show before season 2 was out. I realized that we're about to complete 2 seasons, and I can't believe I haven't had my buddy, Droops, on the show yet.
I've been listening to this show since episode 1.
Well, and we appreciate that. And I've been listening to Infonomicon. I listen to you and Cotton, buddy.
Oh, God, no.
Don't you worry. Don't you worry about it. I listen to you and Cotton. I listen to Infonomicon Radio. Don't worry. It's mutual, man. I love you, too. Now I'm getting verklempt. I'm getting verklempt. I told you before we started recording, I'm buck-ass naked. And it's hot, too. I don't know who the co-host is going to be each week, so it also depends on what topic I'm talking about, if it's something that I think, you know, a particular person would be more apt or better to participate in. So, to the main content of his email... He says, "First off, great show. I discovered it via podcast, and I'm slowly working back through the archives. If you get a bandwidth spike one day, that will be me grabbing the whole archive at school, 2 megabit connection. Woot! I'm listening to you in Australia. Hey, now." Well, we really do. You know, that's the two biggest countries. I'm going to go ahead and say we get support from a lot of different countries, but the two biggest, England and Australia. Well, I should say the United Kingdom and Australia.
What about America?
Well, that goes without saying. That's obvious. non-United States countries. And when you say America, don't go, be careful now. You get all people in the forums all pissed because there's North America, South America, Central America, et cetera, et cetera. It's the United States of America.
What if I put America in the middle of a copyright symbol?
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. and also, and maybe you'll back me up on this rant, either that or you'll disagree with me, but it's great that we get new listeners via podcast and all, but we preceded podcast by like 4 fucking years. It just, you know what, I love that people are joining us and everything, and it is a great tool, podcasting is awesome, but we've been around for a lot longer than podcasting's been around.
That you have.
Am I on my own here or what?
No. I hate the term podcasting.
You're typing. Are you surfing for porn while we're doing the show?
I am, actually.
Recreational porn?
Recreational porn. Actually, it's for work. No, yes, you're right. You have preceded podcasting by like 4 fucking years. But podcasting is synonymous now for internet radio.
And yes, that is a very true statement.
Like, I have a site that we've put up for people to have a radio show, and it doesn't have to be like a tech show or anything, just if you need some server space for a while until you determine that it takes too much fucking effort to do a show, and you quit. And it's podcastincubator.com, just because that's synonymous for internet radio.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Podcasting and internet radio are almost interchangeable these days. People do not realize the difference. And in some cases, there is a difference.
In fact, I do a lot of geocaching, and some people put up a geocaching podcast from Australia, and they didn't have, like, an RSS feed. They just had MP3 links to download from their website, and they considered it a podcast because that's internet radio.
Aha, so they didn't even... That's good. Well, anyway, like I said, podcasting is great. It's a great form of delivery. It's a great way to, automate a lot of stuff, make it easier for people to get access to your show and find your show. But it is not synonymous with internet radio, unfortunately. But, hey, what are you going to do? You know, the term, it's happened, and I think it's one of those things that may be a lost term again. So, anyway, let's see. Australia. Okay, I was thinking about how you said to mix up. This is back to Voltage X's email. I was thinking about how you said to mix up your searches between engines and hacked out this little bit of code in PHP to do it for me. I removed this code because I can't really read it on the air, so I cut it out of the email here. But I would love to see this in the forums. So anyway, yeah, you could do it in JavaScript, but where's the fun in that? You could even log searches. Of course, I'd never do this on a public site, but I like statistics, so I'll probably do it for my own searches. My quick test of this script shows that it is okay at randomizing searches, but not great. This could simply be because of the number of engines and could be fixed by adding duplicates to $engines, which is a variable name. Also, I kind of need to write a front-end search box for it, but I haven't yet, and that should be easy enough as well. Lastly, is there anything I could do to help you out with BinRev site or another project? I have intermediate HTML, CSS, PHP, MySQL experience, and I'd love to give something back for your show, and as I don't have a lot of money, I can give some of my time. Thanks again for your show. All right, VoltageX, a couple things here to talk about. First of all, the PHP code, it's, again, reading that on the radio show is a little bit uncalled for, I think. So I'm not going to post it because I'm not sure if you want it shared exactly. I mean, you did email it to the radio address, but go over to forums.binrev.com and post it. We have a code section. If you haven't already, maybe it's out there and I haven't seen it or missed it. But go to forums.binrev.com and there's a general code section. You can post it in there. Nice handy little script, and maybe somebody can write a front end for it. I mean, it's not too awful hard to do that. As far as helping out, now, I get a lot of emails like this, and it's very flattering, and I really wish I had an answer to this question, unfortunately, but the truth of the matter is that we've got most of the programming. We can handle it. We've got most of the programming stuff done. I appreciate people who offer their time and services, and if I do come up with anything, by all means, I will let people know. I'll mention it on the radio show, and you know, if people want to write in, if they have time to work on it, that's great. The biggest thing that we need more than anything is content, maintenance and content for the sites that are already existing or upcoming sites. Our Hacktivism site, and that was going to be our site of real hacktivism, not this chaos, anarchy crap stuff, excuse me. No, it's crap as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, that site has become stagnant for a while because, you know, we've got this site up and running. The programming's for the most part done. All we need is content. And unfortunately, it's timing issues, and especially, again, I feel like I'm beating a dead horse telling everybody I'm not going to be able to do projects like this in the future, but I need people that are going to be willing to jump in and provide some content and some maintenance of the site, admin some of the sites, things like that. Make sure that it's organized and that there's data put up every day. You know, you put a site up and nobody posts to it for a month, you know, it's pretty much considered a dead site. People notice it hasn't been updated in a month, they won't come back. Just the nature of it, you know, it's just the way it is. They're not going to come back. So the site itself is up and running, but I wish I had more people providing content for that hacktivism site that is. Same thing with Doc Droppers. If you know wiki markup language, if you know how to write in wiki, whatever they call that wiki-tiki language, whatever the crap that's called, it's basically like a BB code type thing. If you know that, we can always use people to edit and update article submissions. We've got a lot of stuff out there that I go through once in a while when I have free time, but that seems to be never. So, yeah, most of the development projects that we have and the actual coding projects are pretty much done or are in progress with DDP members right now. So it's really hard sometimes to sit here and come up with projects for people. A lot of people will ask me this in IRC, and I don't, like, have a list of projects to sit here and hand out to people. It feels kind of weird, you know, and B, anytime we do have an idea for a project, we just do it. So I don't know, kind of awkward. Droops, you got any projects? You want them to come by and, like, build a shed for you or help work on the deck or what?
Yeah, I need some help working on my deck. If anybody's really good with, like, tools and stuff.
Okay. What about
don't mind losing a couple fingers because I'm not really good with tools.
Make sure you film that for Infonomicon.
Yeah, I'm like, hold this, and it's some computer programmer, and I just cut his fingers off, and he's screwed for life.
And then point at him and laugh and go, owned!
No, it's pwned. I'll send it to you for a video.
Okay. all right, well, that's all from me. You want to read the next one?
Oh, I guess we're down to that, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
All right, I don't really know how to say this, but I'm going to say destroy Gabib.
Destroy G-Biv.
Destroy G-Biv.
Because Roy G-Biv, right?
If you just slur them and say them real fast, people don't really pick up on it.
Roy G-Biv, you remember that, right? You know what Roy G-Biv refers to.
That's like, no, I don't, actually.
That's like grade school. That's how you remember the colors of the rainbow. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
I'm writing that down. I didn't have to learn the rainbow in straight school, buddy.
Straight school.
Anyway, they say, hello, Mr. Dog and Mr. Droops. I stumbled upon your show for the first time this week thanks to iTunes 4.9 update, which is where they allow you to do the podcasting. And I have only listened to episode 101 so far, but I very much enjoyed it. I particularly liked the small tangent on social engineering in response to an email. I just wanted to throw in there that a great way to practice talking is with pizza delivery dispatchers. They're usually extremely bored and eager to talk. You can be the... I can't read on a fifth grade level. I'm more of a third grade.
Okay.
But it says, you can be who you want and say what you want, and they will not hang up on you so long as you remain a gentleman. Anyway, keep it up. I have 100 back episodes to listen to.
Yes, you certainly do have a lot of listening to do. Well, either that or you might listen to one or two more and decide you hate us. In which case, you know, fuck off. Let's see. See, I'm a little bit disappointed in myself because I never did quite put together a good social engineering episode of the show, and I wanted to. I'll try again next season, I guess, but I frankly don't see that happening anytime soon either. Because it's just such a broad topic. I could, you know what, that's the kind of thing that I would like to put on Dual Parallels' old idea of Hacker Public Radio. I mean, that's the kind of thing that we could sit there and talk about for hours and hours. I don't, you know, one and a half hour show, which we usually only get, you know, 30 minutes or less with the main topic, 45 minutes, whatever. Maybe less than that tonight, the way things are going. You need a lot of time to cover a lot of the different things, and any time I feel like I'm starting on it, it's like I keep adding more, and I keep adding more, and I realize I'll never get it in one episode. So I keep putting it off. Maybe eventually I'll try to make that happen, but you know, for in the meantime, you know, and there's a good point in this email, and that is social engineering with anybody. And I know Lucky, you know, loves it when people social engineer the pizza delivery people. I know Lucky loves that so much. You can social engineer anyone, and this is the kind of thing that I would go into more on a full episode, but I'll make a short version here. It kind of bugs me that people equate social engineering with lying, because they're so not the same thing. Those words, those are not interchangeable. You know, you call up somebody and tell them you're someone else, I guess you could say that's part of social engineering. I mean, I wouldn't even argue that. I think it is. But it's not the only aspect of it. It's not simply claiming to be someone that you are not to get something done. I've gotten a lot of great information just by being myself, just by calling up and manipulating my words properly. It requires a very, very strong grasp of the English language. You need to have a lot of, I guess I don't have a strong grasp of the English language on this show here. You need to be able to think quick on your feet. You need to be able to adapt and kind of improv a lot of stuff. And you need to be able to roll with the punches and kind of adapt and keep people at ease and keep them away from what you don't want them to hear, while at the same time driving them towards what you do want to hear. So absolutely, pizza delivery people, anybody on the phone is always great, especially if you remember back in the early telephonic craptaculars, one of my favorite targets was the telemarketers. If they're already calling me up, I might as well use them as targets to practice social engineering, see what kind of information I can get out of them, see what kind of stuff I can get them to do. So anybody that you meet ever, social engineering, make it part of your day-to-day lifestyle, if you will, for lack of a better word. Try to get information out of every single person that you ever meet in life, just for the practice, just for the challenge of it. Try to, you know, even just when you meet new people, just see if you can get information out of them, like maybe where they live or names of family members or just anything. Keep giving yourself different goals like that without, you know, it's no fun. You come out and ask, so you got any kids? That's not social engineering. That's asking a question. But, you know, if you can beat around a bush a little bit and make them admit that they've got kids, or, you know, one of the ways to do that, and again, this is where I'm scared of going off onto this huge tangent, you know, mention that, oh, yes, well, I have to pick my son or daughter up at daycare. That, you don't have to ask the person a question. Usually they're like, oh, really? So I have a son, too. They usually will volunteer information. And that's what social engineering is to me, and I can give tons and tons of examples and demos like that of how to get that information out of people without asking them directly, without raising suspicions. By properly wording questions and phrases, you can drive the conversation just about anywhere that you want.
This is very true.
Yeah. All right, well, I'm running out of breath. We're running out of time on the show. Let's bolt through these last couple of emails real fast here. Unless you wanted to add anything more to that. I mean, everybody likes messing with the pizza delivery people, right?
Well, I actually messed with a local phone company the other day when AT&T was doing their avoid hooking them up to the line or whatever tactics that the government regulated on them the first time real well. They missed Bruce, Mississippi, which is this little town of like 7 people, and they have a local phone company. And I'm actually going down there for a tour because I called them and I spoke redneck to them and told them I was a college student, which I am,
mm-hmm.
and I was taking a telecommunications class, which I was,
right.
and I was interested in seeing all their equipment, and they're letting me come down there.
Yep, that's always.
And that's going to be really cool. I didn't tell them, hey, I have this internet radio show, and I'm going to take pictures of your stuff and show everybody.
Yeah, less is more. You don't have to give that information out.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely great example. All right, let's see. Next email comes from, I'm going to withhold the name, real name here, so I'm going to hold that back, who says, at the time I started listening to your show, I had a P2 with 8 gigs of space and no CDRW. It was hard for me to have all the episodes in one place because I had no space. I recently got a new computer with lots of space and a CDRW unit. I wanted to ask you if it's okay if I download all of the episodes again. No. Next email comes from... Okay, no, fine. If you really want to knock yourself out, take yes, by all means, download everything you want. That's why we make them available. We do get people, and people being polite, you know, asking permission before they hammer a server, but you know what? We can handle a lot. You know, we upgraded servers, and if we need to upgrade again at some point, we will do that. So absolutely knock yourself out, download whatever you want. People do it every day. There are people still downloading episode 1, episode 2, et cetera, et cetera. There's people that are downloading the whole batch of them in one day. So by all means, help yourself. We will, back at the Fifth Hope Conference in July of 2004, we did put out, hand out free copies of season 1 on CD. We burned all the MP3s to it, made a nice startup screen where it came right up and gave the show notes and everything. So we'll probably do something like that for season 2. I don't think we're going to have it for DEF CON, but we'll probably do something like that eventually. And possibly even a DVD with all maybe the high-quality versions. I still have the high-quality versions, the uncompressed stuff. I'll see if I can make a little bit higher bitrate version of those, compress them, but still make them better quality. And throw all both seasons and some extra stuff on DVD. But again, that's contingent on what I mentioned earlier with all the things going on, so we will see. But in the meantime, yes, knock yourself out, download what you want from the site. If it's a problem, we'll take it off the site so that you can't download anymore, that's all.
And, that's right, that's how we do it.
Yeah, Droops, why don't you read the last email there, buddy?
This email's from Apohis, and they say, hey, Spank and Droops. I was wondering how much bandwidth you go through a month. I'm sure it's a lot, and wanted to know what host you use that will supply you with that much. Love your show. Keep up the great work. Now, before you answer this, I go through, like, 200 gigs a month, but that's all, like, Iron Geeks videos that are hosted on my site.
Uh-huh. Videos really are what eats up a lot of the bandwidth. The MP3s of the radio show, of course. Each episode of Ben Rev is downloaded around 5,000 to 6,000 times and climbing, some as high as 7,000, I guess, within a month or so. So that adds up, you know, each one around 15 megs or somewhere thereabouts, 14, 15 megs for a full hour and a half show. So we use about 300 to 400 gigs a month, and really a lot of that's because we use mirrors for most of the video stuff now. Which we greatly appreciate, and when we do release the next episode, which is very, very close, so close that I'm not even going to tease anybody with it.
Am I in that one?
No, you are not in this one. You're in the next. You're in the next one, though.
That's what you always say.
No. You're in episode 3, and it's the funniest outtake ever. let's see. Maybe I should just release that. It's just a separate episode because that's so funny. Anyway. let's see. Oh, as far as the company, the hosting company, they, you know what, we pay them. We change every once in a while if we need to grow, if we're not getting what we need from the current place. But since they're not giving us any kickbacks or any price breaks or anything like that, fuck them. I'm not giving them free advertising, so don't worry about that. If you really want to know, you can find out pretty damn easily. So as far as bandwidth, yeah, I already said 300 to 400 gigs a month in a normal month. So it fluctuates a little bit. If we release Hack TV or when we released Pwned, for example, it spiked up quite a bit. I got the hiccups on the show now. That sucks.
Drink some sweet tea.
Yeah, you know what? I will take some sweet tea. While you type, that's great radio. Me drinking tea and you typing.
I'm doing research for the show,
you bastard. You're looking at porn.
I actually just downloaded the 4.9 version of iTunes, and they have a whole podcast thing. It says, now with podcasts. And I was looking at my show, and then I'm about to look up your show and see what it says.
I was going to say, isn't that funny that iTunes, you know, with the iPod is really what podcasting got its name from, and iTunes is just now getting around to supporting podcasting?
Infonomicon is in it. Artist Unknown, Category Technology. News you need, like it or not, and it's free.
Sweet. Ben Rev doesn't even make the cut? Is that what's...
Yeah. This is cool.
So Ben Rev is not there?
I haven't looked you up. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Anyway, yeah, if we release Hack TV, it climbs up quite a bit. But you know what? Even 400 gig... We have that doesn't even come close. That doesn't even touch us or hurt us. So download to your heart's content. That's fine. If we need more, we'll buy more. Bandwidth is a replaceable, renewable source. So not cheap, but you know, we'll do what we got to do to keep the information flowing.
BinRev matches no search results, and so does Binary Revolution.
Oh man, iTunes, we're getting gypped. Wait a minute, this guy said he got us off iTunes though.
Yeah, I'm looking for you.
What about just plain old binary?
Okay.
Man, what's up, iTunes? You trying to got me disrespected by Apple?
Actually, binary brings up Binary Wrangler Podcast. It's about technology.
What the hell is that?
I'm subscribing right now.
All right, you can give us a review on that in an upcoming episode or something. All right, anyway,
yeah.
let's do a quick show and tell because we're fast running out of time here.
Good, because we have no content.
Well, I got a couple of CMS reviews. Did some more research for binrevmeetings.com, and I got a couple of content management systems that I wanted to talk about because, well, they suck. So, but we'll come to that back to that in a second. For show and tell this week, I really don't have a whole lot because most of my show and tell has been private. Real life stuff that I cannot disclose on the show right now because certain people listen to this show and I can't let this information get out quite yet. So, however, I can mention that I have my Binary Revolution meeting coming up this Friday. So, kind of looking ahead, preparing for that, speaking of BinRev meetings. How about you, Droops? What do you got for show and tell there, buddy?
Well, buddy, I just went on a road trip to visit FiZone, or FizZone, as he likes to say, and we filmed a little bit for Infonomicon TV, the next episode. I'm installing Fedora Core 3 right now because I bought a book on Linux, and that's for some freaking silly certification, but it's all about Fedora, and I'm a Debian guy, and Red Hat uses a lot of different things, so I'm screwing around with that, and that's my new Athlon 64-bit processor I'm very excited about.
Nice.
Somebody sent me a video about lockpicking, and then they said that they didn't put any audio in it, so that I would have to talk over it, because they didn't want people to know who it was, because they want people breaking in the, I don't know. And I also was looking at PDA Freak the other day, which is linked to off your front page,
yep.
And it shows that your forums have a Pocket PC version.
Yes.
Which is really kind of cool. And
yes.
I said, well, I can do that. So I've been working on some WML and PHP for the WML so I don't have to update three sites at once. But we now have a cell phone version with WML. We have a PDA version. We have a regular version of the site. And I'm trying to convert everything over to PHP, which is kind of a content management system.
Yeah, and, you know, you're writing your own, which is great. And, you know, when you do that, you have full control. You know exactly where everything's at. But it's more time-consuming, quite frankly.
But I'm learning a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. It's definitely the best way to go if you can afford the time to do it. The reason that we have that over at BinRev now is because when we upgraded to the newest version of Envision PowerBoard, which is just the forums that have that, it came built in with it. They already have a module that will export that. I still think it would be tough reading, but it's kind of cool that it's there. I actually did try it. It's not so awful bad. There's just so much information in those forums that you could still spend hours and hours on a PDA finding and reading all the cool stuff out there. But it is cool to have it. But yeah, as far as content management systems, I guess we'll segue into the main topic, which is a couple reviews here, a couple mini reviews. Actually, these are full reviews, I guess. Of a couple different content management systems that I've been trying out lately. again, the best case scenario is to write your own stuff from scratch, exactly like Droops is doing over there with Infonomicon.org. Are we pimping it enough for you, by the way, during the show?
Infonomicon.org, you mean?
Yes, Infonomicon.org. Are we giving it enough airtime, the airtime that it so richly deserves?
Infonomicon.
Dot?
Some people can't spell it.
I got you right. Infonomicon. Okay. Writing your own stuff is always the best way to go, but we don't always have the time to do that. What I do with a lot of our different projects is find different content management systems or other pieces of software that may exist and use them instead. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. For example, over on StackDog.com, the very early versions, and you know what? Somebody could probably go to archive.org now and I'd be horribly embarrassed at how bad it looked. I went over there and I wrote just raw HTML stuff to get it started and just putting up, you know, silly things. Actually, BenRev started over on there before we gave it its own dedicated site and spun it off because, well, it was, yeah, anyway. Reasons do not matter. But it was all plain HTML, and even BenRev, the actual BenRev.com pages and site, we do have a couple parts of it that are in PHP to make it easier for us, stuff relating to the radio show and whatnot. But most of the rest of it is still HTML-based, using a template that I have here locally and still monitor and maintain. But if you start doing that for the 10-plus sites that I have registered, if I had to write every one of those by hand and modify them all, it really becomes time-consuming. So content management systems can be your friend. There's nothing wrong with using them as long as you keep them updated as best you can and as long as they serve your purpose, most importantly. For example, I finally switched. I tried a couple different on StackDog.com. I tried Geeklog at one time. It kind of got the job done, but it wasn't very secure. And I had a couple little annoyances with the interface and the way it worked. It wasn't very flexible, I didn't think. So I ended up switching to Mambo, which is what I'm using now, and I did a whole episode on Mambo. And I'm still very happy with that. So that one's going to be, I'm going to keep that one for a while, I think. And it's so flexible and customizable that you can make it look any way that you want. Yeah, you can look at most content management sites, especially anything that's PHP Nuke, Post Nuke, any of the Nukes, any of the Nuke knockoffs. You can tell they're all cookie-cutter sites. They all look very similar. But you know what? If they're flexible enough, you can start modifying them, twisting them around a little bit, skinning them, etc., etc. So if you just use their content management systems that are usually, I prefer stuff that's PHP and MySQL or PHP and Postgres or something along those lines. I know there's some that are written in Perl also. I don't think I like those as much, not for a content management system anyway, but that's a choice, personal preference, I guess. So go out there. There's a great site called CMS Matrix, CMSMATRIX. I think it's .org, I want to say. Might be .com, I don't remember, that'll give you a comparison of all the different CMSs, or at least quite a few of them, and there are a lot of them out there, and kind of show you some of the features that each one of them had, and will even let you compare them or search by features to find out which ones might meet your needs. And that's a very valuable tool. And to get into a couple specific ones here, I went out there and found a couple of them that were supposed to meet the needs that I had. So I was looking for some sort of content management system for the BenRev Meetings site. And I was going to put it on meetings.benrev.com and then give everybody a subdomain for their NPA. So, for example, our inaugural meeting is 561, which is down here in South Florida. Well, one of the things I wanted to do, and still will be doing, is providing free hosting for anyone who starts a meeting up. We'll give them a place to store their files, and their, if they want to do radio, if they want to do video, if they want to post links, if they want to post presentations, things like that. But I wanted to do it in such a way that I didn't have to install one for every site. I wanted to be able to install one content management system and have it work for each individual site, yet at the same time providing flexibility and customizations for each one of those sites. So one install, one database, few modifications, which might require a few more tables in said databases, but for the most part have a centralized system where it's easy to just add a new subdomain. Well, there are a couple that claim to do that. PHP Nuke, Post Nuke, the Nuke knockoffs all claim to support that. And I tried one of them that I'd never tried before, giving it a shot, because I'm staying away from Post Nuke, PHP Nuke. All of them are horribly insecure. Look on BugTrack all the time. There's constant vulnerabilities released for these things, and all the modules could have vulnerabilities in them. It gets kind of scary. So I just completely stay away from them myself. Have you ever used any of the PHP Nuke or any? Have you ever tried a content management system, Droops?
I have not. I've used some. I've looked at other people's that already had it set up, and it looks very, very handy and cool. But I have not tried to do that because I don't really care to yet.
Yeah, well, and again, if your best case scenario is certainly to write your own, absolutely is. But like, you know, what do they use over on Hacker Media? HackerMedia.net, a great site. They use some kind of blogger something content management system, I think. You know, and it works handy, and it fills the needs that they have for the site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for the most part, you can look at a site and tell if it's got a content management system of some kind on it. They're pretty distinguishable if you haven't changed them from one of the default skins, you know. Well,
WordPress.
I tried WordPress. There you go. So as long as it serves a purpose, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with doing it. And then maybe modify it if you want to add to it after the fact. It is all open source for the most part. Most of them are open source. You can modify the PHP. You can write your own modules. And some of the good ones have interfaces to easily write your own modules and add them very easily. And PHP Nuke, Post Nuke are one of those where it's a lot of support outside, a lot of modules that are already written, and you can write your own. Well, I've tried a knockoff, a spinoff of the Nukes. We'll start referring to them, the Nukes. And I use something called MaxDev, M-A-X-D-E-F, MaxDev CMS. And it is basically a knockoff of the Nukes, except it supposedly is more secure. So I thought, okay, I'll give it a shot because it was supposed to have multiple site support. Well, I'll come to that in a second. The modules themselves for MaxDev specifically is compatible with any of the PHP or PostNuke modules. Anything that you see that someone has written for PHP or PostNuke, any of the Nukes, should work just as easily in MaxDev. It's designed that way. It's supposedly a more secure module. But again, when you're getting code from individual modules, it's kind of like what we referred to earlier about open source. You've got to be able to trust that code. So, you know, I never blindly install a module until I thoroughly tested it, looked through the code, maybe had someone else look through the code with me, make sure there's no funny business going on before I throw something like that on the site. Again, it's compatible with Nuke modules, as I mentioned, and it has something called auto-theme support, which is some of the content management systems are doing this now. Auto-theme is kind of like a, gosh, I don't know how to describe it. It's kind of a waste, if you ask me. With cascading style sheets, you have so much control over naming different sections of your site and how that section is going to look. Then you tie that into your HTML to use that information. Well, auto-theme is a way to theme universally across different content management systems. So if an auto-theme works for PHP Nuke, Post Nuke, it's going to work for MaxDev, etc., etc. Anything that supports the auto-theme, it's almost like, I guess if you want to think of it as a standardized skinning system. Well, I mean, that is what it is. It's a standardized skinning system. So as long as your content management system supports it, you can go out there, do a search for auto themes, and you will find them out there. Surprisingly, most of them are for sale. Most of them cost money. There's a couple out there that you can find for free, but most of them, they want money for them. And secondly, I had very mixed results with a lot of the ones that I tried. I was less than impressed with auto theme. Now, I can't blame auto theme or the developers of that, but it's probably a theme-by-theme basis. It was still overly complex for skinning, if you ask me, but nobody asked me, so I'll move on. The biggest reason that I chose this was, again, I mentioned before, from multiple sites. You want to be able to put in multiple subdomains or just subdirectories for each person that wants to start a group. And, for example, that allows me to, if I want to post a reminder that everybody, your meeting is upcoming this Friday, I can post it in one spot on the database, and it propagates out to all of the other sub-sites. So each individual site doesn't have to go in there and post a reminder all the time. We can have it automated so that I put it up a week ahead of time or something like that, and they don't have to worry about forgetting it or not having access or being on vacation or whatever the reason. While at the same time have local tables for them to add information that only affects their local meeting, like whether it's canceled or not, whether the directions have changed, what their plans are, what they're going to bring, things like that. Well, because MaxDev is a rip-off or knockoff of the Nukes, it supports the same multiple site module that the Nukes have. It's horrible. It is absolutely the most horrible thing I've ever tried to use. There's no instructions, there's no information. It doesn't make sense. The only thing, only kind of support I could find in the different forums and stuff were just out and out wrong, just completely plain wrong. The module itself does not work as advertised. It does not do what you think it's supposed to do anyway. It will let you do subdomains and kind of sort of make different sites, but you don't have, you lose all flexibility. It's just a disaster. And if you want to see what we ended up coming up with, you can still go to meetings.benrev.com, which is where we initially were going to put the site. And it's still up there running. It's horrible. I don't like it. I cleaned it up as best I could. But we decided to go away from that. So that leads me into my second review of the night, and this is another content management system called Drupal, D-R-U-P-A-L. Hey, maybe they should pay you royalties, Droops.
Yes, I've actually copyrighted that name also, or trademarked it.
Drupal, okay. Like RuPaul?
Yeah, my hero.
Drupal, yeah. Well, come on now, that's everybody's hero.
Well,
that's not,
I'm not
just
the one
yours.
Going through the operation there, buddy.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm saving up. That's why I'm taking off a couple months. I need to recover. Drupal is the only other content management system I saw that was supported the same type of multiple sites. So I decided to give Drupal a try. And not only that, I said, you know what? I'm going to move this off to a separate site. We registered and created benrevmeetings.com. And I installed Drupal over on that. So if you want to compare and contrast, you can see the kind of the differences between the two content management systems. And we basically cut and paste most of the material over to Drupal. Or Drupal. I don't know how you pronounce it. Drupal or Drupal?
Drupal.
Because it sounds like RuPaul, so you got to say Drupal, right?
It should be Drew Buddy, but I don't know why I didn't do that.
Yeah, Drew Buddy. Well, Drupal is kind of cool because it's very, very object-oriented. And what I mean by that is everything in there is kind of treated the same, whether it's a news topic, a bulletin, a forum post. It's all treated very similarly, except that it's kind of tagged differently. There's like a field type, for lack of a better word. You can say that this is a post, a type of forum post. And if so, what is the parent post of it, and what is the actual content of the text of the post, etc., etc. And then the content management system knows that posts of this type go here, posts of that type go there. So it's very object-oriented. It treats everything the same, which is kind of good at the beginning. It's a very easy way to think of things. It gives you a lot of control and flexibility. It allowed me to go into the database on several things I had done and change the type directly in the database, change the fields themselves. Which is probably something that you shouldn't be doing, especially in any kind of production environment. But since we were testing, I was doing some of that. And it has a very, very clean interface because of that. It knows where it stands with everything. It's very well designed out of the box. It will be it's a great system to get up and running quickly and fast. So as far as that goes, and it's very, very, very logical. So it has all that going for it. It is an interesting and good content management system, if not the most feature-filled. Specifically, the forums. The forums are horrible. unfortunately, the forums are one of those things that they really should have gone the extra mile to make a different forums, some different tables for the forums, and a little bit more functionality. Unfortunately, treating every object the same means that a forum post has very little flexibility on what you can do. It's difficult to make threads. It's not impossible. It's tricky to read and see the threads. They're not... it's difficult even to read on the screen. There's no quoting. There's no emoticons. There's no... none of the features that you would find on a normal forum. Well, that's not so bad. Not all content management systems have the full features of a real forum. But it should have a little bit more than this. So the forums, I thought, failed miserably. And being that this site was for the meetings and it was going to give every individual meeting site their own forums, that was kind of important. Again, threading. It did not support threads, things like that. And it doesn't treat it any different than something that's a fact, something that's a news post. So one of the problems we found was that you can post something to the forums and it would appear on the front page of the site. And we turn that off by default, but it still can be done by simply checking a box. And that could get really messy, whether by accident or by intentional malice, I guess, for lack of a better word. So, I don't think we're going to stick with Drupal either. So, Droops, you want to write a content management system for us?
Yeah, if you want a really, really basic one, I got it right here for you, bud. It's all
what
text.
What is yours written in, and what does it do?
It's not really that complicated. I've never used PHP, and I'm using PHP to do it. And it's just some text files, like I'm having a quotes page or like a show notes page, and you just type the text, add it in there, you're ready to go, and the PHP will pull it in the table. Into the correct table on the website, so I can just update the quotes once, and it updates it for everything. And with the PDA and the regular website, it just uses straight PHP. And with the wireless phone, it uses WML, and you have to just write it in PHP and tell it to recognize itself as WML and provide that information for the cell phone. No. And I don't actually have a cell phone that can get on the... they get a GPRS service, maybe? I don't know. But I don't have a cell phone that does that. I have an emulator on the computer.
Well, now you're pulling these from text files, or you're actually pulling... are you pulling from a MySQL database?
I haven't done that. I was trying to get the PHP working, and then I'm going to do that.
Gotcha. Well, then, you know, this is a great exercise to learn PHP.
Oh, yeah. And then
absolutely.
I'll figure out some... MySQL.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, it's PHP and MySQL work very well together, and that's one of the things I should go back on my reviews and mention is that, you know, you can get a lot of support, different forums and for the individual sites, but just for PHP in general, there's a lot of help out there. PHP's main official site has a lot of great information on it, and MySQL site. Again, for a small site, if you're just working on a small project for your personal site, PHP, MySQL combination is great, gets the job done. If you're doing anything where you're going to do any kind of demanding logic or repetitive logic where you want stored procedures, where you want some more advanced functions, you definitely want to power it with Postgres and not MySQL. Or maybe move from MySQL to Postgres later on down the road. But... yeah, absolutely a good combination. So that's
it. While you were talking, I was playing with the new iTunes.
Right.
There's the Binary Wrangler podcast, which has one. It's under the tech thing. There's a Revolution Digital podcast that is in Spanish. And there's Hacker Media, who has a really, really cool name. Like, people pick up on that name. Right. And you're included in their podcast feed. I figure that's how he got it.
Yep, that
so
probably
say thanks
explains
to Kizzle.
It. Yeah, that probably explains it. I think Kizzle has a feed with all of the different shows. I think anytime you post a show on there...
It automatically does it, yeah.
I believe that's what it does, yes. So, very cool. That explains that. Now, we got to figure out how to get the BinRev main feed on there.
You can actually add, I think I saw it on the front page of it.
All right, well, make it so, number one.
Yes, sir.
Buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Oh, man, what I owe you, like $30 or $40 now by the end of the show?
That's true. Well, just give me the T-shirt, DEFCON. We'll count it, okay?
All right. Hey, buddy, I want to see that T-shirt laying on the bed next to you when you wake up in the morning, sweetness.
I just want to see you wearing the T-shirt I gave you.
Oh, man, you're going to make me dig that up?
I mean, dig it up. It's the top of the pile.
I think it's lining the litter box. I'm not positive about that. Ooh.
You're such an ass.
I know. But I love you.
Oh, I'm not talking to you anymore.
We are so going to make sweet, sweet love down by the fire at DEFCON, or down by the pool.
Actually, my wife's coming, so probably not.
Oh, man, she can watch.
Okay, she can videotape it.
Hey, maybe we can all wear yellow shirts down by the pool for QueerCon.
Ooh,
we might. Hey, maybe we can play an episode of Pwned on your wife where we make her wear a yellow shirt and send her down to the pool. Oh, she'd be so mad at you.
Yeah, she's always mad at me. It's okay.
Yeah, I guess that goes with the territory, doesn't it?
Something like that.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for this episode of Binary Revolution Radio. Again, content management systems. I know people. See, the thing is, when you see that on a site, they're usually very easily recognizable. You can see right away, oh, yep, this uses a content management system. Oh, yep, that uses a content. You can usually tell it right off the bat. But the reason is because people use a lot of the default skins or the common skins. They don't make changes to it. So that's one reason for that. You go and change it up a little bit, it makes it a little bit tougher to tell. And if you really, really get into it, you know, like for example, Droops is getting ready to find out that he's going to have to write a lot of tables, a lot of MySQL stuff, and then modify his PHP code to read and write to it. He's going to have to consider in there secure coding so that you can't do SQL injection and all these other things to it. And he's going to have to go through all that, which is a good thing. Again, don't get me wrong, but there are people that have already done it. And there's a lot of content management systems out there. So there's nothing wrong with harnessing that power, maybe just for the underlying engine, and then modifying that as you need to meet your needs of your site. So there's nothing wrong with using them. Just understand what you're getting yourself into and keep them updated, because people own content management systems all the time.
Yeah.
All the time. So closing out this week, I think I mentioned it earlier, but I'll remind people again that BenRev meetings are coming up this Friday. Last week was 2,600 meetings.
I have a question, Stank.
Sure, go ahead.
Why do you keep referring this as BenRev? This is Infonomicon Radio Episode 43.
No, this is Binary Revolution Radio Episode 103.
Not if I can record it, which I have, and put it up a little faster than you.
Oh, that would be so evil. Actually, we should do that as a joke. We should do that as a joke. We should release it on both of our sites as whatever. I'll record an introduction for you, and you will use your introduction from this, and we'll both put them up.
Sounds like a plan, buddy.
All right, buddy. BenRev meetings coming up this Friday. I know we've got some pretty cool plans. We're going to visit the Enigma machine at a local restaurant, fast food restaurant, a.k.a. McDonald's. I don't know how there's an Enigma machine at McDonald's. Don't ask, but we're going to visit that. And shouts this week. I guess I'll do my corny shout-outs and shout-out all of the men and women of the armed forces. You know, we're recording this on the 4th of July, which, yes, that's technically, it's a celebration of our independence, our declaring independence and becoming a free country, the United States of America. But you know what? The way that that happens and the way we arrive at a place like that is because we have to stand up and fight for our freedom. And I, for one, appreciate the people that are out there doing that to give me my freedom and allowing me to do this crappy radio show every week. So my shouts go to them, and I think that's going to be it for me as far as shouts go. Droops, what do you got?
Well, I have shouts to you for the honor of being on this wonderful, professionally done radio show.
Oh, and I forgot shouts to Bubba Hacks, too.
And I didn't know what I was getting into. Like, Stank talks to you for like an hour and a half before the show, so you do it exactly the way he wants it. And like my guest, I'm like, hey, are you there? And they say yes, and I say, let's go.
I was trying to take a drink, and you made me start choking on my iced tea when you said that. Yes, and, I am. I am.
Fizzone. And because he's going to listen to this thing live, and he's going to say, "Oh, that's awesome! My name's on the show." And shouts to the guy who sent me the lock picking segment. And I think that's about it. Shouts to Obfuscated because he's jealous now.
Yeah, how is Obfuscated, by the way?
Well, actually, we recorded a little video the other day. We went and visited, and hung out.
Bow chicka bow bow.
Yeah, actually, we had him in the back of the car and drove around Baton Rouge like with him in the trunk. It was a good time.
Really? All righty then. All right, well, shouts to Fizzone. I'll back that up. Fizzone in the hizzy for shizzy. Shouts to Fizzone if you're listening live. If you're not listening live, Fizzone, I hereby revoke my shouts. How about that? Uh-huh. Let's see if Fizzone is listening live. I'm going to check in tomorrow and see. And shouts to Bubba Hacks, of course. Site of the Week. I think we've already beaten this dead horse into the ground, our site of the week of Infonomicon.org. But I'm not going to make that our site of the week. We've already used that like 20 times. We'll pimp it in the show like we've already done. But I'm going to make my official site of the week Doug TV. Doug TV just came out with a new episode, which is his footage from DEF CON last year, which is hilarious stuff. So go check out Doug TV.
And for Infonomicon, episode 43, our show, site of the week is bedrev.com.
Shut up. Oh, okay. And, all right, so that's what we're going to have to do now. We'll take turns. So if you're listening to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 103, you can email us, if you have any feedback on the show, to radio@benrev.com. But
if you're listening to Infonomicon, episode 43, you can, of course, email me at droops@infonomicon.org. And supposedly you can email me at droops@benrev.com, but that never came true, Stink lied.
That's not... What? We never got that going?
I don't know. I send a test to it every once in a while. It never works.
Oh, well, as soon as we're done hanging up or recording the show, I'll do it while you're on the phone with me.
All right. Thank you, Stinky.
Our closing music on Binary Revolution Radio tonight is Zero featuring Bahamedia, and it's a track called Confess. I said I was going to close with this last week, and then Zero gave us a little freestyle action, which was kind of cool, so I'm going to close with that this week. And let's see. Anything else, Droops?
That's about all I got, buddy.
All right. Next week on Binary Revolution Radio, episode 104, is our two-year anniversary special. 52 weeks, and then 52 more weeks brings us to 104 episodes. It will be our two-year special, anniversary special. Wait a minute, what was it? What'd you call it on Astastic or something like that?
Astastic.
Can I get Cotton on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Because he was pretty good stuff. You can stay home, but Cotton, I'll let Cotton be on the show. Maybe, you know what, I'm going to scrap this whole episode and get Cotton on.
Well, let me get it for you.
All right, so, yeah, make
He'll
sure
give you a little Cotton penis.
I bet he will. Two-year anniversary special, lots of surprise appearances, lots of voices, blasts from the past, some of the funniest outtakes, you'll cry yourself laughing. Maybe not, but I will, so that's really all that matters. And probably the biggest announcement we've ever had on the show. So make sure you listen to episode 104 live. Listen to the stream live next week so you don't hear it after the fact. Hear it in the forums or hear it when you download it. It'll be all ruined for you. So make sure you tune in for that. But until then, Droops, I think we should tell him that we will see him next week. Same hack time.
Same hack channel.
And we're Mickey Finn.
Confess to going mad, confess to thinking bad, stress about how to live my life, put the system between me and death, no rest for the weary, confess to being teary, confess to study social theory, paranoid, don't like when people near me, always for the people, I try to do my best, born in the struggle and I never had no rest, I used to boost the cars and now I wanna shoot the stars, I confess, I want it level, I confess that I'm a rebel, dreams of revolution, I confess to having several, confess to having several. I confess I hate the rich. I confess to hate the snitch. No rest when you see what they leave us with. I confess to socialists. I confess to raise fists. I confess to atheists. I confess to study isms. I confess to a good rhythm. I confess to feminism. Optimist. Till the bitter end. Kill the fascists. Rise up, real American. I confess to why and when. I confess to hating human vultures. Confessing that I hate this pop culture. I'm confessing that I hate this pop culture. I'm up in this piece.